So this is an interview I look forward to all year. And whether the director or leader of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas has been with me on the program before, or if they never have, it's always something to look forward to, as is the festival, which is turning 29 this year, going to be looking into their 30s, and it's probably been about 29 years since I've been trying to feature this incredible, globally focused event here on the award-winning For the People. Shelley Kiala is with us. She is the executive director of this year's festival, which is as I said, turning 29 this year, and they are announcing their summer lineup with new ideas and a new approach to take festival goers on an unforgettable journey between June 14th and June 29th. You may have read about the festival recently in the New York Times. Shelley, you're making headlines. Now it's time to make some radio.
I'll take it. All the media. We'll take all the media.
All right.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Well, quickly introduce yourself to all the folks listening. What's your background and what brings you here to help our festival in New Haven?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me today. So I've been in New Haven actually for almost 4 years, which because I moved in the middle of the pandemic, a lot of people thought I think I just arrived. I've actually been here since 2020.
Oh, okay.
I was born and raised in the Milwaukee metro area. I performed when I was a young person, did theater, musical theater, sang, danced, and then went to school at the U of M, University of Minnesota Twin Cities, where I studied arts in different cultural contexts. And I was really interested in the way that arts can do community building, the way that performing arts in particular can be a voice for social change. And I worked at a performing arts center in St. Paul, Minnesota for 17 years, the Ordway, where I led the programming department, originally education and community engagement. And then I grew into a vice presidential role there, leading programming, education, and engagement. So the move to New Haven felt like a really natural extension of that work. Many of the artists that had performed at the festival were artists that I had worked with. And the connection, the intentional connection to community without being afraid of having that connection mean that we also invite people in from around the world to not just perform here, but also to be in relationship with us. So those are the things that really drew me to Arts and Ideas.
Yeah. Well, speaking of community building, I mean, the main event is June 14th through the 29th, but the festival and your office has been interacting on community events for a little while now, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, our season really starts in January. I would say we have a fellowship program of high school students that take classes at Gateway Community College. We have 22 of them this year. And every week, starting in January, they've been learning about what it means to put on a festival. What is arts administration? What are the skill sets you need to have? So after that, then we had a great event called the Visionary Leadership Evening with an artist, Sona Jobarte, at the Schwarzman Center at Yale in April. Mm. We've been exploring themes of migration through the Big Read in a book called The Best We Could Do, and doing film screenings and conversations in partnership with the New Haven Free Public Library. And we have neighborhood festivals all this month. Every single weekend, we're going to be at a different city inside, or a different part of the city in New Haven, celebrating and creating wonderful events with our neighborhood festival partners.
Yeah, those little village districts really gives you an opportunity to bring uniquely flavored, but perhaps, you know, audience favorites, or at least flavored in the theme of what the demographic within those neighborhoods enjoy most.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it really brings us into a position of being able to create with them, right? Mm. Not for them, but with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the most fun things to do, I think, in the arts.
And really fulfills that that community building track, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of quick hit questions. Obviously, in 29 years, the International Festival of Arts and Ideas has put New Haven and Connecticut on the map in a big way, in some of the smallest countries and locations on the planet. How far flung are our farthest guests going to be traveling to New Haven this year. Where did you recruit from for acts that are coming a great distance?
What a great question. So the last Friday of the festival on the New Haven Green, that's going to be the 28th, we have the fabulous Dobe Nahare, who is a wonderful vocalist, drummer, percussionist, and storyteller, really, from Sierra Leone. And I met her when I was at the Ordway. We brought her in for a global music series we were doing. She's been all over the world. She does a lot of the jazz festivals internationally, and she'll be for free performing on the New Haven Green, which is very exciting. We also have this wonderful group I've been watching for a while, and I've never been able to present. We got them this year, Daka Braka. They are Ukrainian folk fusion group. And they have been performing all over the world the last several years, really in support, both to bring their own unique sound to audiences and also in support of the Ukrainian people who are, of course, going through a continued invasion right now. So they'll be playing. They just won the Shevchenko National Prize. And their sound, it's quite unique. I mean, you really can hear an Eastern European vibe, but it's connected to electronic music as well, which is a lot of fun.
And that's that's a ticketed event?
No, that's free.
Oh,
that's free.
Great.
It's on the green, on June 20th.
Yay.
We've got a group from Alaska that is an Inuit soul group, Pamua, who is, they represent Alaska's indigenous culture, and they'll be also free on the green from 7 to 8:30 on the 23rd. And then, of course, Montreal is well represented. We have a fantastic group called Cecilia, who's going to be playing on the green for free doing Celtic music. There's a Celtic community in Montreal on that first Sunday on Father's Day the 16th. And then inside Seven Fingers Dual Reality, they're doing a circus show that is based on the narrative of Romeo and Juliet, and it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, as you approach the summit of the 30th year of the festival in 2025, I understand you have decided to start this year with a new approach featuring multi-day summits. Can we talk, or at least start talking a little bit about that before we take a quick break?
Yeah, the ideas programs. So rather than have, you know, a smattering of ideas, topics throughout the week, and we do have some of those, we're really taking each Saturday of the festival to focus on a topic. And so the first Saturday will be focused on environmental voices. The second, and, you know, listening to the wisdom of people who have been thinking and working about how we can do better in terms of the environment with us. And then the second Saturday, we're talking about how we live. What does it mean to have a really fulfilled, rich life, and how do we self-define that? And so we're going to have a lot of speakers talking about that topic. The final day, which is the 29th, we will be focusing on cultural resilience and connections in the arts, and speaking with a lot of Native American leaders and voices, including the chair of the National Endowment for Humanities, Shelley Lowe.
That's wonderful. It's almost like you're doing like a conference approach instead of it catching whatever expert or authority you can and trying to plug them in as they're going between somewhere else and with a stop in New Haven and then on to the next stop. You're sort of converging all the experts in and around a subject on a specific day.
Yeah, that's right. That absolutely. That's the approach. And, you know, then as a result, we get to have a deep conversation as a community around these topics, which is enriching.
Very good. Shelley Kiala is with us. She is the executive director of the 29th, New Haven International Festival of Arts and Ideas. And we are going to talk a lot more about what you can expect of the festival. We hope you'll come. Folks are coming from all over the world. Why not join them here in New Haven for some fantastic cultural arts experiences? By the way, while you're here, we've got some good pizza. Maybe stop at one of our other great restaurants or other venues. But in the meantime, we just want to let you know a little bit before the festival kicks off our friends at Westport Pride are inviting allies and supporters to march with them at 9 a.m. on May 27th in the Westport Memorial Parade. You know, until the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, thousands of LGBTQ plus individuals gave their lives in silence serving our country. So come celebrate their dedication to shared values and stand with Westport Pride for the first time in Westport's history and remember their fallen LGBTQ plus heroes. Or if you can't make the parade, plan to be at the organization's Westport Pride celebration. That's happening on June 2nd from 12 to 4 on the Jessup Green in Westport. Or check out one of their other activities. You can get all the details on this and other Pride Month events by visiting westportpride.org. So, Shelley, thank you again for joining us. Shelley Kiala with us, director of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas. I finally got the name right.
Good job.
So, big, some big names are coming as well within their worlds of fame and followers. Numerous Grammy-nominated and award-winning artists. Hit us with a couple that you think will really be great draws, and do remind us if those particular shows are ticketed or no cost.
Absolutely. So the most Grammy award-winning artist that's coming this year is Samara Joy. She's a jazz singer. She has won two Grammy awards, and she's only in her early 20s. So just wait until she gets a little bit further in her life. She's going to be performing at College Street Music Hall. She's been selling out venues all over the country and internationally. That is a ticketed show on June 26th at 8 o'clock. And tickets are selling fast. So if you're interested in Samara Joy, my suggestion is to check that out and get your tickets soon.
Very good.
Yeah. And then we have on free on the outdoor stages, the fabulous Stokely Williams. He's going to be singing on the 21st of June and he's a Grammy award-winning artist as well. He used to be the front man of Mint Condition, which was a really well-known R&B act in the 90s and has been going solo since then. He's actually starring in the Rick James musical. If you've been watching that's kind of hitting the East Coast right now. He is that person. You can see him for free on the green. And we also have a Brazilian bossa nova artist, Caro Pierotto. She's a Grammy Award nominee. She will be on the New Haven Green on Thursday, June 27th at 7:30 p.m. for free.
Very good. I see our friend Ann Nyberg from WTNH is involved in the festival this year. So, folks, maybe you remember the Joy Luck Club. Art novelist Amy Tan is part of the program. Shelley, tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, she's not going to be talking about the Joy Luck Club, which is what most people think of in relation to her. Mm. Amy Tan, during the pandemic, wrote a book called the Backyard Book Chronicles, and it just came out in April. It's a combination of beautiful drawings that she did and narratives about these birds that she was watching in her backyard. You know, we were all stuck in the pandemic in our homes. And this is how Amy was passing time and spending time and actually channeling a lot of the anti-Asian sentiment that was happening around the country and around the world into this artistic vehicle. And so she's going to come and talk to us about the Backyard Bird Chronicles in the brand new, newly remodeled Peabody Museum.
Yes.
That's going to be on June 18th. It is free, but you do need to reserve a spot.
Very good. A couple of programs that might be of greater interest to our BIPOC friends, and something I'm near and dear to, which is agriculture. And I'm thrilled that you're bringing in Farming While Black.
Yes. So this is Leah Penniman is really the star of this movie. Leah was awarded last year through the festival's Visionary Leadership event. We honored her and her work. She basically kind of brought back to life this large plot of land in upstate New York that was non-usable. And through farming techniques that she learned in West Africa, she was able to, and indigenous farming techniques, bring it back to really quite rich, fertile soil. So she founded a farm called Soul Fire Farm that teaches this farming practice. It is Black owned and Black run. And a documentary was made about her work. So the film is called Farming While Black. We are screening it for free at the Adante Student Center at Southern Connecticut State University. And we have the director of the film that's going to be joining us, Mark DeSena. He's done a ton of work in this space, as well as a panel of Black farmers from Connecticut. This is a movement is happening here in Connecticut on this work, and we wanted to make sure people heard about it. So that's happening May 21st. It's before the June festivities. It's part of our ramp up. Mm-hmm. And 6 p.m. on the 21st is when we'll be screening that, also free. And please make a reservation.
And I have to tell you, Shelley, I was so thrilled as I was wheeling through the massive list of activities and performers and guests for the festival to see not one, but two friends on the same bill, our history making state treasurer and my friend John Dankowski. I will let you, because I could talk about Eric Russell for, you know, essentially the rest of the 10 minutes. tell us what is appealing to you and the festival for bringing in our esteemed state treasurer and my friend Eric.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, John, I'll start with John and say John is just such a fun person to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I think as an interviewer, he's so skilled and brings out stories that you wouldn't otherwise hear from his guests. So we're really excited to be working with John and Connecticut Mirror on this particular session. As you know, democracy and elected officials and, you know, all of this is very front of mind right now with the national election coming up in the fall. We have some really important voices at the state level that are kind of newly in politics or new mm-hmm. in new positions. Eric's one of them.
Yes.
He is the first Black LGBTQ elected official.
Yes, constitutional at the state officer, treasurer. Yes.
Yes. And so so it's going to be both, you know, about his experience in politics, but I think also what's interesting is his personal journey in through that that role, that journey kind of to the office that he's in, what he sees as, in terms of what's coming, you know. So it'll be a little bit of a retrospective of his journey, but also of what's coming. You know, let's look forward. He's a newer voice and a compelling voice and someone to really listen to as we chart the future of Connecticut.
Right. So a few great things are happening as a result of the timing of the festival. Juneteenth is happening right there in the middle of it. And the festival is also happening during Caribbean Heritage Month, which it prompts me to ask you to share how you are celebrating the festival with all these great community partnerships that we started talking about at the beginning of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. The festival, I think, does some of its best. It does lots of things well. And one of the things I love that the festival does is collaborative programming. So there is a coalition, a Juneteenth official coalition of New Haven that exists. It's led by Hanan Hameen and Iman Hameen. And they have been working with us for years. So we are kicking off. I think this might be the first time we're kicking off the festival with a Juneteenth celebration. The first Friday on the green will be Juneteenth programming on the stage. And that is being curated by the coalition, the New Haven Coalition for Juneteenth. The following day, so Saturday, so come on Friday and check that out. And then Saturday, there'll be a village, which I think is what most people are familiar with when it comes to Juneteenth programming and the festival. That's happening on the upper green, and it'll be all free. And then the end of the festival, so we're bookending with these really powerful connections. Mm. The last day of the festival is the day that we are celebrating Caribbean Heritage Month. And we are working with the Caribbean Heritage Festival of New Haven again, which we did last year. They also have a kind of a village setting that's going to be set up, but it's going to be all on the lower green this year. So a bunch of vendors, different tables that represent the different islands of the Caribbean with cultural artifacts and history and ways to connect. Food vendors, of course, where you can get, you know, all of your favorite Caribbean foods. And then we're going to end the evening with a fantastic performance. I can't say the name yet, but I can tell you it's going to be a Trinidad, an artist from Trinidad who's going to do soca music, which is what we had last year with Nicole Tasia. So it really has that carnival vibe, you know, very upbeat, very fun, very fast. Mm-hmm. We're going to make the green bounce again this year.
And ending our chat with a little mystery, which I like. I appreciate that, Shelley. Shelley Kiala is the executive director of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas putting New Haven and Connecticut on the global map once again, all these 29 years and counting and coming to New Haven. There's something every day happening on the street, in the venues, in the restaurants, in the lecture halls, in the museums of New Haven, June 14th through 29th. Artidea.org is the website you go for everything, parking information, travel information, ticketing, all that you need to know is at artidea.org. And Shelley, we will let you go because we know you're busy. And we thank you so much for taking time to speak with us again and orient us toward all the great stuff happening in New Haven for this festival this year. Appreciate it.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.